Welcome to Reaching Out to the Community. My name is Derek Bullard. In today's rapidly evolving digital age, one word stands out as the beacon of the future: quantum. But what does it truly mean? How is it shaping our world, and where does it fit in the vast landscape of technology? From the depths of quantum mechanics to the vast potential of quantum computing, we're about to embark on a journey that promises to redefine the boundaries of knowledge and innovation. And to guide us through this intricate maze, we have a special guest, a leader in partnership development, the manager behind the Quantum Algo Lab, and the driving force of the Quantum Curious Project.
I'm Justin Lefebvre. I'm at the Partnership Development at Institut Quantique. I'm also in charge of managing the Quantum Algo Lab, which is the quantum computing team we have here in the Institute. And I'm also in charge of the team of educational outreach. This is the project we call Quantum Curious.
Quantum computing, really? In simple terms, please? How does it differ from the computers we're familiar with? Can we demystify this quantum jargon and get a clear picture of what it means for the future of technology? Well, our expert guest is about to break it down for us.
Yeah, so quantum computing is a new way of looking at computing. It is a change in the paradigms of computation. So I always tell that you have to reprogram the programmers when it comes to quantum computing, because you have to think in a totally different way than what it is with classical computing. That means that you have to base your thinking on quantum mechanics. And there's just a few basic principles you will start from, and then you build from there. So you may have heard that in quantum computing, you don't use bits or like binary digits in terms of information that are either zeros and ones in classical computing. You will use qubits in quantum computing. The qubits are the quantum bits of information. And the way it works is that you can represent that by having zero and one at the same time, with some proportion of, in terms of probability of measuring zero and some proportion of measuring one. But when you are in superposition, you never know which will be the final state you will get when you measure your actual qubit. So this may seem a bit weird, but when you know how to use this way of thinking, when you know how to use, those qubits for doing computation, then you get into a new realm of computing. And this is what quantum computing is all about.
Quantum computing brings a whole new dimension of problem solving. Our guest explains how quantum computers can solve problems that would take classical computers an eternity to crack. But here's the catch, folks. Won't replace your trusty laptop or workstation anytime soon. Quantum and classical computing will coexist.
So quantum computers, they will be able to do some computation that, well, today's classical computers and even like tomorrow's classical computers will never be able to do. They will be able to compute some hard problems that would take like the age of the universe in terms of time of computation for classical computers. So it will be for some specific problems way, way, way faster than classical computers, but not any problem. So that means that in 5 years from now or 10 years from now, you won't replace your classical computers by quantum computers, because what your classical computer does well, it will still do it well in the future. Okay. So quantum computers, they will perform some specific tasks, and they will do that coherently with classical computers. That means that they will be in some hybrid computation between the classical computers and the quantum computers, and then will supercomputers be used? Well, probably, because on the classical part, you will probably have to use some like high power computation there in order to get what you need to get from the classical computers. And then for some parts of the algorithms that you will be performing, then you will send those codes to the quantum computer that will process the information, transform it, apply the algorithms, then send back some information to the classical computer that will eventually, just do that over and over again. So there will be this hybrid form of computing between classical and quantum. This is what we foresee. And I'm always speaking here of future computation. Mm-hmm. Because if I give you the state of the art today, there's no actual quantum computation taking place that is useful today. So okay. We do have quantum computers. You may have heard of this IBM Quantum System 1 that has been launched in Bromont actually 2 weeks ago. This is now in the IBM facility over there. It's pretty amazing, actually. It's the fourth IBM quantum computer outside of the United States. After South Korea, after Japan and Germany, the fourth one is here in the Eastern Townships in Bromont. So it's pretty amazing having that kind of resources here. But what you have to know about this quantum computer is that today you cannot launch useful algorithms that could be performed on it. There's a lot of noise that comes back. So it's more a research device these days than it is a utility device. We are not far from having utility, but we are not there yet.
You might have heard that the upcoming event, SureHack 2023, is set to be a quantum computing hackathon. But for those that are not familiar with that term, what exactly is that? And what is this event happening October 26th all about?
So the idea here is to have many companies, either from the region or from the province. So we have a few I can name. We have SureWeb that's there. There's Hydro-Québec. There's KPMG and many more that are participating. And the idea is to have all these people competing in, using quantum computation. Probably most of the work will be performed on simulators, I can already tell. But maybe at the end of the day, we'll have a few teams that will be able to launch some codes on actual quantum computers. We are partnering with Pink, the nonprofit organization that is in charge of managing the access to the IBM quantum system in Bromont. So we'll have, through Pink, we'll have some access to actual quantum systems there. And the idea will be to give the companies in the morning all they need to know for first steps in quantum computing. They don't need prior knowledge in quantum computing. And then in the afternoon, the idea will be to solve this challenge that will, I won't tell what it's going to be just because I will keep the secret for the people from these companies that will maybe listening to this interview. So let's keep the secret here.
Okay. Well, like in any hackathon, the competition is probably going to heat up. And it's safe to say that companies will probably be sending their genius level employees to this quantum competition. I mean, who wouldn't want to send their quantum prodigies to compete?
Yeah, we asked the company to bring their people that are already in computer science. Okay. We need those programmers that already know how to program. The language we'll use is Python, so it's pretty common language, so nothing new there. It's the way we use the language that is, again, that is new, using this way of thinking quantum. But the actual language is fairly common. And aside from that, knowing how to code, there's no prior knowledge that we base our act on. But of course, if some people do have some quantum computing knowledge prior to the event, I guess that they will probably be favored in terms of, tackling the challenge we'll throw out there.
So taking a moment to explore the mindset behind organizing such an event, we have to ask, what do the organizers hope to achieve with this type of competition? Are there any particular outcomes or surprises that they're looking forward to? To shed some light on this, our guest tells us.
Well, I guess that it's going to be the same answer that any people organizing hackathons would give. If we could have like surprises, if some people could think of ideas of or ways to solve the challenge we'll throw out in ways that we have not thought of, I mean, that would be great. Yeah. And if there were more than one way of looking at the challenge. Well, first of all, I'd say that, yeah, if there's more than one way people find to solve the problem, that is something very interesting because, again, there is no one single path in terms of quantum computing. So if you have different paths and you can eventually compare them, that is very, very interesting. And then if there's things that we've not thought of, then that'd be, even better.
Let's hear from Mr. Gislain as he provides a more in-depth look at how the participants will be evaluated and what exactly is at stake in this quantum computing competition.
It's going to be great a great task for our judges. The idea will be to base their analysis of the situation on the coaches that the teams will have. The coaches will come from the Algolab team I was talking about before. So the coaches will provide some information about the project and how it went in terms of in terms of developing the algorithms throughout the day. And of course, it will also be based on the results that the team will, that each team will have had. And this is how, basically it's going to be analyzed. There's actually a few very interesting prizes. I talked about Pink before, the nonprofit that is in charge of, managing the IBM Quantum System 1 in Bromont. Pink will, give for free 1 month of utilization of their System 1, and so this is worth quite a bit of money here. And another prize is given by the Quantum Algolab team itself. It will be a free workshop for the winning company that we will go deliver on premise to this company.
Okay. According to our guests, in order to have a successful event, participants need to walk away with a glimpse of what quantum computing can offer in the near future.
I think it would be a first sense of what quantum computing is. Of course, you don't become a quantum software developer overnight or during one day of hackathon. That won't happen. But if they can get out of the event with some sense of what quantum computing can give or will be able to give in the near future, then that would be success for us.
Unfortunately, if you want to participate, it's a little too late.
Well, actually, it's all full. So all we're at maximum capacity right now. So if there's people interested in participating in probably a next edition, then of course you can contact us. And that would be, I guess, the best way to be aware of when next event will be.
Mr. Ghislain explains the link to the University of Sherbrooke and shed some light on how it all started within the institution itself and the multiple of partners involved in making this event a reality.
Well, actually, Institut Quantique is part of the University of Sherbrooke. So, we're all working for the university. Okay. So it's within, the institution itself that it's all started. Then we've been working with many partners in building this hackathon. So the Innovation Zone District, they're there. There's Quebec Quantique that is in charge of developing the economic side of quantum throughout the province that is also part of the hackathon. Then there's QuantAsset, and there's the Sherbrooke-Innopol as well. So many partners that are participating in giving a hand in building all this.
Well, now I bet you've been captivated by the quantum computing world that we've been exploring today, and you're eager now to take your first steps in this exciting realm.
Yeah, depending on what you need, there's many ways you can train if you want to learn quantum computing. One way is the new undergrad program that there is at the university for its second year now. So the first cohort, there were 19 students, now they are 25. Nobody has graduated yet, okay. But in 2 years and a half from now, we'll see the first people graduating from this new bachelor's in quantum information science program. So this is one way. Of course, it takes more time than other paths. Yeah. Then we also have many workshops that we deliver either for pre-university students, either in high school or CJEPs. There's also workshops that we deliver in companies that are interested in, having first steps in quantum computing. Generally in companies, it will be intro level or intermediary level. But we also have many workshops that are more advanced that we usually deliver more at university levels. Then if you are interested in maybe having some first steps in quantum computing, I'd invite you to go to the website quantumenigmas.com with an S to Enigmas. The Quantum Enigmas video series is a series of animated videos we developed that introduces the first, concepts of quantum computing in the intro video there. But then we use classical enigmas that we solve using a quantum computer. There is no advantage in doing so, but the idea really is to, start thinking in the way quantum computing works. And I was saying that we have to reprogram the programmers at the beginning. It's this exact same idea here. The idea is to see, okay, can we use the logic of the quantum logic gates to solve problems that we may know of already because they are classical problems, and then use this logic for solving those problems on the quantum computer. Then, of course, throughout the videos, it gets a bit more, in-depth from one video to the next one. And at the end, we do actually explore some quantum algorithms, and there is some quantum advantage in using those quantum algorithms. It's going to be overall a series of 12 videos. Right now, there's 9 out and 3 more to come in the next months. Wow. So quantumenigmas.com is the place to find all the info.
Curious to find out more about SureHack 2023 and how the event panned out? This October 26th. Here's how.
Totally. If you go to ANSYS Quantix, either Facebook page or LinkedIn, I guess that would be the two main places you can get all the info. Otherwise, if you'd like to stay in touch with us, there we have our mail list that we also have. So if you want to receive a regular mail from us with the Quantum Curious project, you can also go to the Quantum Curious webpage and find all the info on this website.
What an incredible journey it's been exploring the quantum world with Mr. Ghislain Lefebvre and learning about the upcoming SureHack 2023 event set for October 26. It's mind-boggling to think about the potential of quantum computing and how it's reshaping our understanding of computation. Ghislain has been an amazing guide breaking down the complexities of quantum computing into digestible nuggets of knowledge. SureHack 2023 promises to be a thrilling event, bringing together companies from our community and beyond to embark on a quantum computing adventure. This event could very well be a game changer. And hey, if you're excited as I am about quantum computing and want to dip your toes into this fascinating field, well, Ghislain has offered a ton of resources from workshops, the Quantum Video Series, so there's something for everyone to get started on their quantum journey. As I wrap up this interview, I want to thank Ghislain Lefebvre for sharing his insights and expertise with us today. It's been an enlightening experience, and we can't wait to see the quantum innovations that emerge from SureHack 2023. Remember, if you want to stay updated on this quantum journey, make sure to visit their website, their Facebook page, or LinkedIn. Thank you all for joining us on this adventure into the quantum realm. My name is Derek Bullard, and thank you for listening to Reaching Out to the Community. See you next time.